9 o'clock sharp after our morning coffee crisis created by Jeffrey Glazer. Sefer Mitzvahs, Mitzvah number 186, Ir HaNidachat.
Morning. So, doing Sefer Mitzvahs in a row allows us to have some perspective on why the Rambam groups certain things together. On the other hand, at some point, it can't be that every single mitzvah is connected to the one before. Somehow, the Rambam just has to move on. Now, I don't know if today is moving on or not. I could make a case for either side, and I'll just make the point quickly. If you've been paying attention, or even if you haven't, we've been doing what I call like a grouping of infrastructure mitzvahs. Egla, Arufa, there was a body found, the community has to deal with it. Arei Miklat, you have to set up, communities of refuge. Arei HaLeviim, similar to Arei Miklat, also scattering the Leviim to teach within and without all of Klal Yisrael. Mitzvahs Ma'akeh, building a fence to make sure that people don't hurt themselves on dangerous situations. And last week was Ibud Avodah Zarah, destroying Avodah Zarah. Not the prohibition to worship Avodah Zarah, but that we shouldn't live in a community that has within it Avodah Zarah. This week is something called Ir HaNidachat. Ir HaNidachat, as we'll see, is a city that's become so corrupt. Let's just say the majority of them worship Avodah Zarah, the city has to be destroyed. Now, I could easily make a case that this is a continuation of, Ibud Avodah Zarah, destroying Avodah Zarah, and we can't live in a world where these bad things are going on. But if I'm honest with myself, next week we get to destroying the Zayin Amim, and after that, Amalek. So it seems to me that the transition, this could still be part of the kind of the infrastructure, but it may be moving into something about like destroying evil, or not, which is connected. Again, it doesn't take a philosopher to say that having a porch where people could fall off is a form of evil, and we should not have that in society. And having people who undermine the religious nature of our society and having people who represent all the evil in the world, okay, somewhere in there, I think, is the obvious answer for how these things were grouped together by the Rambam. Maybe as we do it, we'll see some specifics, but I think, broadly speaking, that observation must be true. Now, let's learn a little Chumash. The Ir HaNidachat is strange halachically. It's strange philosophically. Most of us, I think, if we had a discussion on what mitzvahs in the Torah most offend our, benighted sense of how the world should work, so people would start with destroying Amalek. But if they knew a lot about Ir HaNidachat, that would be on the short list also. Because it seems like it may even involve killing people who are innocent. It may.
What's the precise translation of it?
So, Ir is a city.
Yeah.
And a Nidach is like pushed aside, or it's hard to know, it's hard to know how to translate exactly. But we'll learn the psukim together, and then we'll learn the halachas, and then we'll get a sense. Okay? This is, I've pointed this out before, and I don't know the answer to it. This is a mitzvah that was zocha to many psukim in the Torah. Again, sometimes you have a mitzvah that's just to throw away an extra word, an extra letter. Ir HaNidachat, comes like a whole story and a whole explanation. It's in Parshas Re'eh, so we'll actually get there pretty soon in Laining. And here's how it goes. Says the Torah. It comes off like a story. Ki tishma ba'achat arecha. Let's say you hear in one of your cities, and I guess one of the questions we'd have to deal with is who hears. Okay, ki tishma ba'achad arecha, asher Hashem Elokecha noten lecha l'shevet sham lemor. You heard about a city, asher Hashem Elokecha noten lecha l'shevet sham. What does that mean? Where's the city?
So somewhere that you're given permission to dwell in it, but they don't say specifically where. Sham is there.
Where?
Sounds like an Eretz Yisrael.
So the overwhelming position is it's only in Israel. Okay? it's an interesting way. We've seen many, many ways. You know, Ha'aretz Hashem Asher Elokecha Noten Lecha Nachala L'Rishta. Here you have Achad Arecha Asher Hashem Elokecha Noten Lecha L'Shevet Sham. I'm sure there's much to be said about the different formulations, but it seems consistent with what we've seen before as a description of the fact that this halacha only applies in the land of Israel. By the way, one second. If it fits into like the category of infrastructure mitzvahs that apply, you know, that God doesn't want us to live in a world where this exists. So we've seen that that argument can apply in Chutz La'aretz, but it applies more in the land of Israel. So for example, last week we saw, yes, there's a mitzvah to destroy Avodah Zarah in Chutz La'aretz, but only if you're confronted with it. Whereas in the land of Israel, you're supposed to seek it out to destroy it. So let's assume for now that the idea of an Ir HaNidachat only applies in the land of Israel. Mr. Weiser.
Yeah. I don't know if my memory is right. Some years ago, they called Tel Aviv Ir HaNidachat.
Listen, the fact that some idiot calls Tel Aviv an Ir HaNidachat. Okay, look, what I can promise you is after today, you'll get the joke. You know, it's like somebody calling this guy a rodent.
Do you remember that?
No,
like
I don't.
3 years ago,
I don't. Okay, what's the difference? Okay, I believe you. I believe you. Okay. Listen, it's good to know where these insults come from, but they're nothing more than insults. Here we go. What happens? What do they say about this town? Pasuk Yudal. They say as follows: Yatzeu anashim bnei Belial mikirbecha. People, anashim, plural, left. You know, bnei Belial. They don't have a god. They're evil people, and they come from your midst. Vayadichu et Yoshvei Iram. What's Vayadichu? So Ladchot is to push aside, but in this case it means they incited. Vayadichu et Yoshvei Iram Lemor. They got up and they said, Nelcha v'na'avda Elohim Acherim Asher Lo Yidatem. So here, when you read the Psukim, there's a process. It's not, Ir HaNidachat is not a city that has people who do bad things. It starts with Anashim Bnei Belial. It starts with a small group of people who basically incite the people to worship Avodah Zarah. And as if to say, I don't think the Torah has jokes in it, but Nelcha v'na'avda Elohim achim asher lo yidatem. You know, let's go worship a god you never heard of. It's a funny thing. Like, who's going to fall for that? Like, let's worship a god, the god of rain. Let's worship the god of the sun, you know.
Well, something novel.
Let's worship a god you've never heard of. Okay?
Fine.
You know, it's like saying, I want you to get married to this woman. You'll meet her under the chuppah. You're like, shouldn't you meet first? Shouldn't you find out if it's your god or not? Yeah.
It's interesting that the Torah wouldn't suggest go in, root them out, get rid of them, as opposed to, you know.
Well, let's see what happens. See what happens. Okay, third line. Vidarashta v'chakarta v'sha'alta heitev. Anybody could see these are four synonyms where the Torah is trying to emphasize something. This is actually the source for a different halacha. This is the source for cross-examining witnesses. That if you're going to believe witnesses, first v'darashta v'chakarta v'sha'alta heitev, you have to ask them a whole series of questions to make sure that they're honest. But you do all that, okay? V'hine emet nachon hadavar. It turns out to be true. Ne'esta hato'eva hazot b'kirbecha. This abomination really did occur. Okay? And now here comes a strange halacha. Hake take, okay, double lashon of smiting, et yoshvei ha'ir ha'hi lefi charev. You have to kill all the inhabitants of this city. Ha'charei mota ve'et kol asher ba ve'et behemta lefi charev. You have to, ha'charim is to, how do you say it in English?
Destroy. destroy.
No, to make cheirem is to
separate.
To sequester, to make separate, to basically, you know, make inaccessible. The entire city becomes inaccessible and is subject to destruction. Okay, so again, you could look at this as, let's say, the Isser of Avodah Zarah, just instead of it's one person, it's a whole city. And you could say, okay, this is the regular din of people who do Avodah Zarah are subject to the death penalty. But here, instead of one guy being subject to the death penalty, it's 500 people. I think that's wrong. I think the Torah doesn't have to tell you. You know, there's no pasha about a city all of whom are Mechal Shabbos. I'm just saying. You know, one view is, okay, all that's happening here is it's a really extreme case of an evil, but I think that here there's something different going on because you don't find this in other places. And what would be the chiddush of the Torah? Okay, one person is over the death penalty, 500 people are over the Avodah Zarah, they get the death penalty. Here, the Torah is telling us something different. You see it already in the psukim, first of all, with the story. Who needs the whole introduction? Let's say there's a city, and you hear about the city that there were some people in the city who incited the people and said, hey, let's go worship Avodah Zarah. And then, and it turns out it's true. All of this leads us to believe that there's something going on here that's much more than just the quantity of people who happen to be worshipping Avodah Zarah. There's no other way to read these psukim. You know, what we're supposed to learn out, that's a more difficult question. But I think anybody who reads this sees that it doesn't read the way it should. Really, all the Torah should have said is you got a lot of people worshipping Avodah Zarah, here's what's going to happen. But here,
the time is also weird because it's this discussing destruction before we know they actually bought into the argument of the people.
Okay, good. Right. It turns out it's true, but maybe it wasn't true. Good.
Did this ever happen, or is this kind of like the rebellious son?
Correct. So I didn't have enough time. I think it's a machlokas. I think there are people who say it never happens, and we'll have to talk about that, and you know, it's a very fair point. So let's go back. So you, again, Pasuk Tezayin, Hakei takeh et yoshvei ha'ir ahi lefi charev, hachareim ota ve'et kol asher ba ve'et behem ta lefi charev. By the way, even the animals, ve'et behem ta lefi charev, already now, it reminds us, I think, a little bit of Amalek, where in Amalek it's also everybody, including the animals, and also the same idea that the shalal is off limits. Usually, when you go to war, one of the reasons you go to war is because you get rich. If you win, you get a lot of stuff, right? But in this case, no one gets the stuff. Rather, Pasuk Yudzayin, fifth line. Listen to this strange halacha. Ve'et kol shilala tikbots el toch rechova v'sarafta ba'esh. Basically, drag all of their belongings into the middle of the city, el toch rechova, like this you know, main street, v'sarafta ba'esh et ha'ir ve'et kol shilala kalil la'shem elokecha. Destroy, burn the entire city. V'hayita tel olam lo tibane od. It should just be, you know, a pile of rubble forever. It should never be rebuilt. Now, that's also a big machlokes. It shouldn't be rebuilt in the same way. But again, this is like piling on. First you do the people, then you do the animals, then you do all their possessions, then you do their homes. There's a lot of anger here. This isn't the usual. There is no halacha that if, God forbid, somebody's worshipped Avodah Zarah, that you should burn down their house.
Well, Jericho, we have something similar.
But that's not Avodah Zarah.
The man made
stone. To the extent you're saying there is a situation which we were told, Vaitat Tel Olam Lo Tibane, oh, that's true. But it's nothing to do with Avodah Zarah.
This is something like the story with Shaul. I mean, he was a complete.
Many things here remind us of Amalek, and again, Amalek is coming in the Rambam because it is connected. All I'm pointing out is, it's hard. the things that we can compare this to are war. You know, big things like war and Yahushua and Yericho. But it doesn't match up with any individual. It doesn't match up with Chilul Shabbos. It doesn't match up with regular Avodah Zarah. This is something you do. I think the point you see, this is something you do to a nation. This is something you do to the Zayin Amen. This is something you do to Amalek. This is not something you do to Jews. And yet, this is something we're doing to Jews. Okay?
Yeah, but it happens to some people.
Maybe not.
Well, that penalty, it happened 70 years. They called them.
Okay.
In other words.
Okay. First, let's learn the halachos. You may be right. The point was raised before. It'll be raised again. Let's see. Pasuk Yud Ches. V'lo yidbak biyadcha me'uma min hacherem. You shouldn't have any connection to, you shouldn't take any, you're not entitled to take any of the booty. Lema'an, and here I think is a key line. Lema'an yashuv Hashem mecharon apo. Okay, that you don't see it that often, or you do see it sometimes, so that God should stop being so angry. Apparently, this really makes God angry. Okay? So don't take any of the cherem, so God won't be angry. V'natan lecha rachamim v'richamcha v'hirbecha ka'ashen nishpa la'avotecha, and he'll have mercy on you. And then just a nice pasuk, ki tishma b'kol Hashem alokecha lishmo et kol mitzvotav ha'anochi mitzavecha hayom la'asot hayashar b'nei Hashem alokecha. Okay, you'll do the right thing in this context being destroying the city. And then God will have mercy on you, and He'll forgive you, and life can return to the way it was supposed to be.
Did I miss something? But it never actually said a Jewish city, did it? Is it just obvious?
Yes.
Whatever, it's a mixed city, Jews and non-Jews.
I don't know that there can't be Jews there, but I think when you're talking about a city in the land of Israel, the assumption is that it's majority or almost completely. Here, what's clear is. In Pasuk Yudalit, Yatzeu Anashim B'nei Blial Mikir Becha. That means Jews. That means Jews.
They come. Exception for children.
It's a machlokas. They're in the game, but it's a machlokas.
Is this Kal V'chomer that the Kanani city should of course be wiped out?
No, it's not a Kal V'chomer, because here I think that what happens is Jews can make God angrier than Gentiles. Jews can make God happier than Gentiles, but the risk reward is out of whack. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's you say, well, if you're going to destroy a city of Jews that has Avodah Zarah, of course you'll destroy a city of Gentiles. No, because I think here there's something particular. You know, somebody else cheats in their marriage, and work doesn't upset me so much. My wife cheats, it really hurts. It's not the same. By the way, it's completely fictional. It's not the same as, you know, here, it's being stabbed in the back. You know, a person you know cheats you, that hurts. A person you don't know cheats you, it upsets you because you lost money. I think there really is a sense here that God takes it personally. And God takes it personally because it's us. Because we cheated on him, as opposed to, you know, the nations of the world where it's an isser. But I don't think it's as personal. Okay? Let's just see what the Rambam says. It's a very short mitzvah in the Rambam. Number 2 says the Rambam, V'hamitzvah kuf peivav 186, Hi shetziva laharog anshei ir hanidachat kula. You have to kill the whole city. I suppose here it's men, women, and children. Although, again, it's a machlok, okay? Vilisrof et ha'ir im kol masheba, and utterly, you know, incinerate the city. Vizehu din ir hanidachat. That's what's called the city, the din of an ir hanidachat. Vu amaro yitalev v'saraf tabo eish et ha'ir v'et kol shilala. Okay, so there's a big machlokas, which I didn't really want to deal with too much. I think the issues, the philosophic issues are more interesting. You know, again, something we talk about all the time, which is, what is the mitzvah exactly? The Rambam seems to include two separate things here. One is killing the people. The second is burning the city. Okay? There are Rishonim who count it as two separate mitzvahs. But, you know, that's one interesting question, which I don't really want to pursue, although we'll touch on it a little bit. The second is who? Whose mitzvah is this? Whose mitzvah? No, no, not who do we kill.
Oh, how do,
whose mitzvah is this?
Oh, okay.
There's also no due process of letting
one
run
second,
away
one second.
Or
whose mitzvah is this?
Is it all?
What do we think? You see the psukim?
Okay.
You know, it, even the intro, the first pasuk says, "Ki tishma ba'achad arecha."
Yeah, who's
I'm going to guess Sanhedrin. Yeah.
So you could say Sanhedrin, although you have to realize something. If we're going to play this out for real, and you assume that we're talking about a city of at least a few hundred people, it almost turns into a war. Right? Right? You don't just show up with Besdin, you know, some policeman shows up and arrests somebody. You're talking about an entire city.
Yeah.
It's not such a simple thing. Now, you could say Sanhedrin, you know, hires some standing army or something. You know, it's going to take a lot of people to enforce this rule. We've seen before, and hopefully we'll see again today, that there's kind of this in-between mitzvah that's on all of Klal Yisrael, which I think you hear in the Pesukim, Ki Tishma, but, you know, like we hear about it, and we're upset. We find out that there's this horrific city someplace where, you know, children are, there's a cult city in Israel, okay? You know, where children are being abused and all kinds of terrible things are going on. And society speaks up and says, we can't live like this. We demand that something be done. Now, you know, who does it? Presumably in the world we live in, you know, the government would have to do it. But sometimes the government does it in response to people saying, this is an abomination, we can't live with that. That's the sense I get. That Lemaisa, you know, it's hard to just self-enforce this kind of a rule, but it is this. It is the kind of thing that the people are supposed to generate a passion for, that we're supposed to say, can't live like this, it can't be that there's such a city. Okay. Now, the other question.
Does Tishma say anything?
What?
Tishma, that's singular?
I think it's plural singular, like we all hear. I don't think you could do much with that.
Is there a due process?
Huh?
Is there some sort of due process?
Yeah, of course. It says v'darashta v'chakarta v'shalta hayte. That's due process. Yes, you go through a whole thing to make sure that it's true. Okay? Last thing. This is a point we touched on already, which is, why is this not, you know, when you look in the Sefer HaMitzvos, so there's a mitzvah on Beis Din or on us to make sure that people who are chayv skila get skila, people who are chayv chenek get chenek, right? But there's no mitzvah that everybody's mechal Shabbos, you know, they get skila, and everybody who eats on Yom Kippur, skila is one mitzvah, hareg is one mitzvah, chenek is one mitzvah. So one of the things you have to ask yourselves is, okay, this is a form of saif. These people are going to die by the sword. But there's tens of those things that in theory people die by the sword for. Why does this get its own mitzvah? Mm-hmm. Okay?
Also, why are they considered irredeemable? Why, you know, why not send Kohanim to try to convert them back into Yiddish?
Okay, so you're saying what happened to Tshuva? Now,
just due process.
There is due process. We discussed that.
No, we don't send a letter or
we send witnesses. What due process is there for a murderer? You tell the guy, if you murder him, you're going to be killed. That's called due process. Due process isn't, you know, months and months of letters to a governor.
No, you have to take them to a Beit Din and.
Yeah, of course, they have to be judged.
I said this before.
Vidar Ashtavacha. It's clear in the pasuk. Yes. Here, the whole city is judged.
But
it's a different. It's the assumption. We'll read it in the halacha.
They're working on the assumption that there aren't 10 righteous men as in Sodom and Gomorrah.
You made that up.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm saying you made that up. There is no halacha that 10 righteous men save Manhattan. I'm just saying.
You could have saved Sodom and Gomorrah.
Maybe, but that was okay. The better. Maybe the question is. Is Ir HaNidachas just another form of what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? That's a good question. And then the question is, well, it sounded like there that 10 people would save them. So the answer is no, it's a different din, because 10 people will not save them. Okay? Now, just on the tshuva point, because it's interesting, I don't think this is any different than any other Aveira in the Torah. By which I mean the following. Beis Din, and this is a point I suppose it should be made. We believe in tshuva, it's true. But Beis Din doesn't. By which I mean, when two witnesses say, listen, if you rape her, you will be punished. Okay? Now he does it anyway. Now the guy comes to Beis Din and he says, I'm really sorry. And he means it. It doesn't matter. Between him and God, it matters very much. And, you know, in our religion, tshuva matters very much. But Beis Din never falls for it, for better or for worse. Witnesses warn you, and you do it, you're subject to the punishment. Whether it's makos or mis or whatever, you're subject to the punishment. Of course you should do tshuva, because you want to go to Olam Haba, and you want the punishment to actually wipe away your crime. But you and me both, we're not in favor of tshuva in that circumstance. Correct?
Is there something about the wholesale aspect of what's going on here that makes it more?
Okay, what if the din is, we'll get there, what if the din is, you're right, somebody has to show up to the city and tell them, listen, cut it out, or you're going to have a din of an ear and idachas. Then you feel better? Okay, but all I'm saying is, that's not a din of tshuva. That's a din of hasra.
Yonah.
Huh?
Yonah.
Good. God sent a Navi to say to these people, do tshuva. Right? Now, let's say they didn't. The question is, there has to be, I think we must have touched on this before, there has to be a no-go point. It has to be the case, I don't mean to offend anybody here, it has to be the case that when you get to Olam Haba, you don't want to meet Yasser Arafat there, and turns out, right before he died, he tshuva. We would like to believe, you don't meet Hitler, we would like to believe that there's a point beyond which, at least I would like to believe, there's a point beyond which that's it. You're locked in. Okay? You get many, many chances to do tshuva, but once you pass that point, and I could bring you proofs in the Torah, it really does seem that way. Yeah, the one place where the discussion takes place is in Mitzrayim, where God seems to have taken away Paro's Bechira Chafshis, right? And all the Rishonim talk about it. And so the Rambam says there's a point of evil beyond which that's it. You're stuck. You grade evil on from 0 to 100. 100 being the maximum evil in the world. Says the Rambam, you pass 90, okay? And all of us in our hearts, we like that, because there's people who we think are so evil that I would hate to find out that after they killed 6 million people, they said, oh, sorry. And because they meant it, it was okay. So, it fits into that category. Now, just to compare the way, so the Rambam basically has two parts to the mitzvah. Kill the people, burn down the town. The Sefer HaChinuch in number 3, who almost always just copies the Rambam word for word at the beginning, he has a different telling. He says, Lisrof ir hanidachat ve'et kol asher ba. The mitzvah is to burn the city. Achret ir mi Yisrael shenidchu al yidei anashim b'nei Belial latzeit mitachat kanfei ashchina. Near nidachat. So here he seems to say the word nidachat is like pushed. The city was pushed by some evil people to turn away from God and to worship avodah zarah. Vayelchu acharei shirut libam hara la'avod avodah zarah va'alzeh ne'emar v'sarafta bo eishet ha'ir v'ed kol shalala. I point that only because I think it's interesting that for him the mitzvah is burning the city. There's nothing about killing the people, although,
Wait, did that be a separate mitzvah or itself?
No, but the core is, for the chinuch, the core is to destroy the city. Mm-hmm. It's like the death of the people is secondary to the destruction of the city.
Well, what death do the inhabitants get? Do they get strafe?
No, they get chena. They get saif. You'll see. Right. Okay. Now let's try to read some Rambams, just to get some halachos, so we'll get a sense. Says the Rambam, again, it's a lot of Rambams. I just try to bring you like highlights. Number 4, says the Rambam, it exists in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim. Obviously, it makes sense that Ir Nidachas would be, categorized in the category of idol worship. Says the Rambam, Ein ha'ir na'aseit ir hanidachat ad sheyihiyu madicheha mitocha umeoto hashevet. Says the Rambam, there are a number of conditions that apply to an Ir HaNidachat, and many of them are formal. The first is that the inciters to the Ir HaNidachat have to be locals, right? The Rambam's assumption, of course, is that cities were populated entirely by one Shevet, because the Shevet lived in one Nachala. So the Rambam says the first thing is the pasuk says Shenamam Mikirbecha Vayadichu Et Yoshvei Iram. So the first thing the Rambam says is the people who incite the city have to be members of that city. They can't have come from someplace else and now show up to the city and incite them. Second line. Va'ad sheyihiyu madichim shnayim o yeter al shnayim. It can't be one guy. It has to be two or more who incite them. Shenemar yatzeu anashim b'nei blial va'yadichu et yoshvei ira. Next rule. Va'ad sheyadichu ruba. The next thing is, it has to be that a majority of the city fall prey to them. The majority of the city, you know, become of the Avodah Zarah through this process.
51%.
Okay? V'yihiyu hamudachim min mea. Sounds like the minimum of 100. Va'ad rubo shel shevet. Until, you know, most of the majority of a tribe. Aval im hudchu rubo shel shevet. Danin otam ki yichidim. But if it gets so big that now it's most of the Shevet who's doing it, not most of the city, but most of the tribe, then the rule of Ir HaNidachat doesn't apply, and you have to judge them as individual Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Okay. The sense I get, I forgot who mentioned it first, but you know, the idea that this halacha was never applied. You get a little bit of the sense in the Rambam that he's telling you all the reasons why it never happens. Right? Even the way it starts. Ein ha'ir na'aseit ir hanidachat ad sheh. Right? It's not true. It's not a result-oriented mitzvah. You show up, you see a city, which is why the insult to Tel Aviv is clearly wrong. Right? You show up, you see a city, most people are bad in the city, you go, okay, ir hanidachat. No, there's a process. It has to start with some evil people who were from that city who tried to convince them to do it, right? It has to be a majority of the city who do it. It has to be at least two people who incite. There's a process, and it's clear. You could read the process to say, this is a theoretical halacha only. It's never going to really happen this way. And what the halacha stands for is that at least in theory, if you had pure evil, however it plays out, that pure evil has to be exterminated. Okay, it's never going to happen because the technicalities are so great that it's never going to happen, much like the technicalities for Ben Sorer and Moreh are so great that it's just lemaisa, it will never happen. But nevertheless, it matters very much to know that there is such a halacha, even if it's just a theoretical halacha. Now, fourth line after that, that's v'chein im hidichuha nashim o ktanim. If the people who incite the city are women or children, o shehidicha yachid, or it was one person who did it, o shehudcha miuta, or only a minority of the city fall for it, o shehudchu me'alehem, or they did it themselves, meaning they on their own came to Avodah Zarah, o shehayu madichel mechutzala, or the people came from outside of the city. In all of these cases, ein danin ba din ir hanidachat, you don't have a din of ir hanidachas, Ela harehen ki yichidin sha'avdu avodas kochavim v'soklim kol mi sha'avar umamonam liyarsheyem kishar haruge beitin. He says, in all these other cases, which is going to be 99% of the cases, it's not a din of Ir HaNidachat. So if it's not a din of Ir HaNidachat, what is it? It's a regular garden variety case of a person Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And then the regular rules apply, which is, if he's warned, and he accepts the warning, and he does it anyway, he gets skila, but his house doesn't get burned, his money is not forfeit, instead it goes to his children, right? God forbid a person who gets killed by Beis Din, the children still inherit him, which is not the case for Ir HaNidachat, obviously, because the whole city is destroyed. Next example of this. Next example, Halacha Dalet. Ein achat me'arei miklat na'aseit ir hanidachat. Here's a connection to something we've seen before. You go, wait, we got a city of bad people already, right? They're all accidental murderers, and we sent them to the city, So the din is, that's not a regular city in Israel, and an ir miklat can never be an ir nidachat. On the opposite end of the spectrum, by the way, Yerushalayim can never be an ir nidachat, because Yerushalayim was lo nitchalkal lishvatim, wasn't inherited by any particular shevet, therefore it's excluded from the din of ir nidachat.
I guess even historically, Christianity, I mean, if you say that Jesus was one person, he also, you know, he could have started Medea in the town that he was living, but he was one person, so that also wouldn't count.
Okay.
I guess.
Yeah, but historically it didn't happen.
Sorry, they didn't.
No one worshipped the Avodah Zarah because of him. It took a long, long time to.
Yeah, well, he had some followers.
But he was long dead.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, halacha hey. Ein osin ir hanidachat ad sheyadichuha madicheha belashon rabin. Again, another bizarre technicality. The people who incite the city, the more we read this, the more I think, like, of course it never happens. People who incite the city have to do it belashon rabin. Which I think means as follows. Well, we'll read. Vayamru lahem neilech v'na'avod. Let's do this together. It means, if you went one by one, that's also not a Nir HaDachat. You got to get up in town and incite them publicly. And then he says, second line of Hay. Ir HaNidachat shalo nitkaimu ba ubemadicheha kol hatina'im ha'elu. Now, let's say it's an almost Nir HaNidachat, but it's a failed Nir HaNidachat because these conditions don't apply. What do you do? Hey achosum lahem. Matrin. Umeidin bechol achat veachad mehen sha'avad avodat kochavim. So that's it. Regular rules. You give each person hasra if they ignored it. V'soklin otam ki yichidin, they get skiva sha'avdu umemonam liyorin, and their children inherit them. It's just an individual garden variety case of avodah zarah. Now, what if it is an ir nidachat? Halachavav. Here it goes. Finally, after the Rambam tells you a million reasons why it can never be an ir hanidachat, he says, okay, but what if it is? So listen to this. V'heyach din ir hanidachat. How does it work? Bizman shetihiyeh re'uya leheyasot ir hanidachat. Okay, the word goes out, and the facts seem to be along the lines that what we heard. People were mediach them, and their worshipmen of Avodah Zarah, etc., etc. Beit Din HaGadol Sholchin V'Dorshin V'Chokrin. This is due process. Ad Sheyedu B'Ra'aya B'Rura Shehudcha Kol Ha'ir Oruba. That either the whole city or a majority of the city has worshipped Avodah Zarah as a result of being incited. V'Chazru La'Avodat Kochavim. Okay. Achar Kach. This will make you happy. Sholchim lahem shnei talmidei chachamim lehaziram ulehachaziram. They send Yonah and his assistant. Okay, there's no Nevi'im. They send two talmidei chachamim to try to get people to do tshuva. Okay, we're not interested. We're giving them every opportunity not to be our nidacha. There's a gazillion technicalities. And even if they fulfilled all those gazillion technicalities, and after due process, it looks bad, we still send two people. This is unique, right? You don't have this anyplace else. We're going to send two people, and they're going to get up, and they're going to say, please do tshuva. Okay? This is really bad. Really bad things are going to happen. Please do tshuva. Im chazru ve'asu tshuva mutav. Now, I don't know what mutav means. I know the word means it's good. But I don't know if that gets them out of the avera for individual avodah zarah or not. Right? Because they still worship avodah zarah after they had hasra, maybe. Okay. But, v'im ya'amdu bi'ivaltan, but if they persist in their evil, beit din mitzuvin lekol Yisrael la'alot alehen. Where do you get the manpower? Bezdin puts out a call for an army of Jews. It's a civil war. La'alot alehem latzava, v'hein tsarin alehem, and they siege the city. V'orchin imahen milchama, and they wage war. Ad shetivka ha'ir, until the city is split, is tired. Kishetivka miyad marbin lahen batei dinim v'danim otam. As soon as they get in, they set up a lot of courts, immediately set up courts, and they judge them. Kol mi sheba'u alav shnei edim sha'avad kochavim achav shehitru oto, mafrishin otan, and they're killed. And then the city is, you know, then the city is totally destroyed. Okay?
That goes so against what you said earlier, that
I hope not.
You said earlier, and when he asked the question, what they did tshuva, they said, well, you're guilty. There's no concept of tshuva after you're convicted of being guilty. Here, they're going in to do tshuva, and they get a reprieve, so to speak.
There is a reprieve from the din of Ir Hanidacha.
Ir from destroying the city.
Correct. But I'm not sure that there's individual reprieves. I'm not 100% sure. And let's assume you're right. Okay, this is an exception to the rule. Mm-hmm. Okay, generally speaking, it doesn't happen this way. There's a special halacha. There's no din that two witnesses tell you, listen, if you be mechal Shabbos, you're going to be killed by Beis Din. He goes, I don't care.
But if then, you did, it did.
One second. Then two other rabbis come and give him a speech. No. You get two Edom, that's it. If you don't listen to the Edom, you're dead. This is a unique halacha, which is unique to Ir Hanidacha. Now, there's no question that what's going on here is something different than what normally happens in halacha. What normally happens in halacha is, you agree or not, but in theory, this is a punishment that fits the crime. Okay? You did X, you were punished for X. There is, generally speaking, no additional punishment because you did it in a group. Right? Because I got together with 10 other people and I was Mechal Shabbos, so now the punishment's even greater. But this is something different. I would claim that this is not just a problem of quantity, that there are more people doing Avodah Zarah. It's the challenge to God that makes it different. And I think we could see this in really an amazing passage in the Rambam Zmor Nevuchim. It's a long piece, and it'd be great for people to do it because it's really fascinating, because I think it's insightful psychologically, but also religiously. Okay, look at number 5. Look what the Rambam says, unrelated to us. Just a discussion about levels of culpability in halacha. Says the Rambam, V'da, Shema'asei ha'averot yechalek l'dalet chalakim. Says the Rambam, there are 4 types of ma'asei avera. Ma'asei avera meaning the 4 types of, I don't know, motivation or ways you would describe an action. How does it work? Ha'echad mehem ha'ones. Right? Ones means no culpability whatsoever. You know, the example I try to give all the time, because it's fun, is, you know, you're at a kiddush on Shabbos, and, you know, somebody, you know, needs to get the chalent immediately, and they knock their hand and it shuts the lights off. Okay? Shutting lights off on Shabbos is an issur d'oraisa, we fish. Okay? But in this case, you didn't do anything. You don't have to do tshuva at all. Because it was like, you know, it was like somebody tied you up and dropped you off the roof. You landed on somebody. You bear no culpability, even though something happened. Okay? You're an onus. Second, hasheni hashogeg. Now, what's a shogeg? So again, the example I like to give. You got up in the middle of the night Friday night. Because you're middle-aged. And we know that middle-aged people sometimes have to get up in the middle of the night. Okay? And you went to the bathroom, and on the way out, you shut the light. It's 2 in the morning. You weren't thinking. Okay? That's shogeg. You did it, and you're culpable for what you did. Meaning, because, let's face it, if you were frumer, you would have known that it was Shabbos. You would have remembered. You know, we aspire to be the kind of people that even at 2 in the morning on Friday night remember that it's Shabbos. So, you're not rebelling against God. Same thing. You shut the light because you didn't know shutting the lights are usur on Shabbos. Okay? So, you're a shogeg, but really you should have known. So, there's a level of culpability. There's a requirement to do tshuva, but you're not going to be punished by Beis Din. You have to bring a karban. Okay? That's shogeg. Obviously, third, hagimel, hamezid. Okay? That you do intentionally. You go, don't fight with me. Let's assume this. The light is off in the bathroom. Okay? and you're going to the bathroom, and you know, you don't want to go in the dark because you have to read a book. Otherwise, the plumbing doesn't work.
You're afraid.
So you know that it's usur. You know that it's usur to turn the light on Shabbos, but you do it anyway because you want the light to be on. Okay, that's called mezid. Now the Rambam says there's something else. There's a higher, there's a worse level. V'harivi'i ha'oseh biyad ramah. Oseh biyad ramah means you do it as rebellion against God, which the Rambam sees as being worse than an intentional avera. What makes it worse? So I'll give an example, and then we'll read what the Rambam says. In my example of mezid, all you did was turn the light on because you wanted to turn the light, because you needed the light. Now, you knew it was an Issur D'oraisa. You absolutely knew it was an Issur D'oraisa. And two people told you, don't do it, it's an Issur D'oraisa. And you said, you know, but I want the light on, so you do it anyway. That's mezid. But then there's the guy who stands there turning the light on and off, on and off, on and off, because he hates God. He's angry at God. You know, people keep saying, stop doing that. He doesn't need the light. In fact, it's costing him his electricity bill. But he's turning it on and off. That, the Rambam would say, is biyad rama. Okay? That's a rebellion against God. Now, watch what the Rambam says. Okay, so...
That's a medical condition.
What's it called?
Insanity.
No, well...
Insanity. It's doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results.
No, but it's not a different result. Here, if you read... Let me tell you something. If you read biographies... of, you know, Zionists, the founders of the state, whatever, you know, people who grew up in religious homes. There's always like a part in the story where they say that on Yom Kippur they ate pork. Why? They dafka needed pork on Yom Kippur? No, that was their statement. That was their rebellion against God. Like, what could be a bigger rebellion than to have a pork sandwich on Yom Kippur? Okay? So watch the Rambam. So he says, Aval, ha'oseh biyad ramah, who hamezid sheyaiz panav v'yavor b'farhesia. The Rambam is different than me. He's making a political statement. He does it in the middle of the street, right? He stands outside of shul on Yom Kippur and he eats. Says the Rambam, that's not because he's hungry. Shezeh eino over l'te'avon. He's not showing up in shul with a pork sandwich because he's starving. Levad. V'lo la'asot ma shemina'ah ha'torah la'asoto l'ro'ah midotav levad. It's not just because he can't control himself. Aval lachlok al ha'torah v'la'amod kinegda. This person is challenging God. That's different than mezid. Okay? It's worse. Mipnei ze amar et Hashem hu migadev. He is cursing God. V'hu yehareg b'lo safek. He has to be killed. V'lo ya'aseze ela mi she'alal b'libo da'at acherek lachlok bo ala Torah. The only person who does this is a person who wants to challenge the authenticity of the Torah, or I would say the existence of God. Okay, it's not because he's hungry. U'mipneize bo ha'perush ha'mikubal ba'avodah zarah ha'katuv midaber. It doesn't matter. The Rambam says that's why you find these phrases in the Torah with respect to Avodah Zarah. Because a person who worships Avodah Zarah is challenging God. I think the Rambam thought that, like, Avodah Zarah is so stupid. The only reason you do it is because you want to challenge God. Okay? Mipnei shu cholek al pinot ha'Torah. Ki lo avad adam kochav klal. Right? The Rambam says, because who's going to worship a star? Only idiots. If you worship a star, it means you think that the world was created. And then you would worship the Creator. Says the Rambam, I think this is the case with respect to any avera that challenges God. Va'afilu achal adam miYisrael basar b'chalav olavash shatnes. Okay, person ate meat and milk, or he wore wool and linen. Oh, he kif patarosh. He cut off his payas. If he did it lebizayon haTorah, he did it to challenge God. Mipnei da'at sheyitba'er mimenu sheino ma'amin shezot haTorah emet, because that's his way of saying I don't believe in the Torah.
Hu et sli ha-ne'emar alav et Hashem hu migadev. God, he's cursing God. V'yehareg mitat kefira lo mitat onesh. He gets a punishment for challenging God, not a punishment for cutting off his pay. It's not a punishment for eating basa b'chalav. And here's the line. Ke'anshei ir ha-nidachat she'yahargu mitat kofrim lo mitat onesh. He says the people who live in an ir hanidachat don't get skila, which is the punishment you would get for worshipping Avodah Zarah. They get saif, which is the punishment you get for being part of an ir hanidachat. Here the Rambam is, I think, explaining the situation. Ir hanidachat is not Avodah Zarah multiplied by the number of violators. Ir hanidachat is an affront to God. The fact that there could be, and again, I think here it goes back to the psukim. We asked at the beginning, what's the interest in the process? People show up and they say, Nelchavin na'avda Elohim acherim. I think the Rambam is saying, they're saying, let's rebel. They're not saying, you know what? Basar b'chalav really tastes good. Like, you guys are losing out. You should have cheeseburgers. They're fantastic. No. They're saying, let's rebel against God. That is a completely different category of avera than we've seen before. That's, you know, that's if you're religious, that's evil incarnate. That's not, you know, I can't believe that God prohibited me from sleeping with that woman. I'd really like to. No. Nobody, here the Rambam would say, nobody even likes Avodah Zarah. It's, let's get together, you know, and rebel against God. And so what's it, why is it its own mitzvah in the Sefer HaMitzvahs? Why is it not covered by all the other, okay, whatever out there they do, that's the punishment. No, because it's a completely different category. It's a completely different quality of Aveira. And therefore, even if you're right that it never happened historically, the statement matters very much. The statement is that a community that gets together and unifies itself around a principle of rebelling against God, that's not just a problem of quantity, that's a problem of quality. And that becomes an Aveira of a type and of a scope that's different than anything we've seen so far.
That's a critical
quickly,
mass.
Quickly.
Two things I want to make on that. If you put up film, it's not the day.
Yeah.
Is that challenging God?
In your case, maybe. That's a story that we happen to know. No. Whatever you say to me, I'm not going to find fault in you're putting on tefillin, you know, in Auschwitz at night. No matter what you say, I'm not going to fall for that.
Okay. But my grandfather used to say, what's a mumma lahachas?
Okay.
Your people,
correct. Correct. A lot of what the rabbi, I agree with you.
That's a mumma lahachas.
Okay. It's a good line. I agree with you. What the Rambam is describing is sometimes referred to as a mumar lahachis. Lahachis means, I don't even like this aveira. I just do it to spite God. Quick.
I was just saying, you reached a critical mass. That's the...
Correct. You need some arbitrary rules to make this an ir hanidachat. It's not three people. It's a majority. Now, Sefer HaChinuch, number six. What?
Just
no, you don't count if you're a visitor. Number six.
Although, bad luck.
You know.
Don't go to the hotel.
Right. Visit now. We may not be here tomorrow. You know.
Tomorrow
okay.
You can't leave.
Bruce is already thinking of tours to Ir Hanidachat. Okay. Look at number six. Sefer HaChinuch. Shoresh mitzvah zo yadua. Listen to this. Shoresh mitzvah zo yadua. He says the rationale is clear. She'anashim ra'im v'chata'im ka'eleh. Evil people like this, shehiskimu yachad haskama ra'ah v'nimeset. They agreed together on something that's evil and disgusting. Kazo ra'uy limchot shemam ula'abed zichram min ha'olam. They deserve to be exterminated. V'lo yisha'er ba'olam makom zecher lahem klal. There shouldn't be any remembrance to them. Ve'ein lahem kilyon charutz yoter min asrefa. And he says, the best way, practically speaking, you want to destroy a town, you got to burn it, right? You're going to start taking, you know, pickaxes. It's going to take forever. It's not going to work. You have to burn it. But the point underneath it is, you know, you're not supposed to have something that you go, oh yeah, I got that from the Ir HaNidacha. It's a complete destruction, you know, with no memory of it. Which is, again, when we do Amalek, it's a funny thing. Amalek is also supposed to be complete destruction with no memory of it, except for the mitzvah to remember Amalek. Right? Which kind of confuses the situation. We just got to knock on some things. Second paragraph, it says, V'noheget mitzvah zo bizicharim ki lahem ha-mishpat. You have to remember, bizarrely, this is a mitzvah aseh. We're not learning that you're not supposed to do these things. We're learning that you're supposed to enforce a certain type of justice against an ir hanidacha. So who's that mitzvah on? So he says, males, because they're responsible for justice. Ubizman she Yisrael al admatan. Ubeitin hagadol shel shivim v'achat bimkoman. When we have a proper society in Israel and there's a bezdin hagadol, then they have to do it. She'ein danir hanidachat ela bebeitin hagadol. You can't have an ir hanidacha unless it's a Sanhedrin of 71. Now here's a great line. V'zot min hamitzvot hamutalot al hatzibur v'yoter al haSanhedrin. That's what we said at the beginning. It's really every Jew who needs to say, I can't abide an ir hanidacha. I have to do something about an ir hanidacha. But Lamaisa, it's the Sanhedrin who's going to do it, because otherwise, you know, you live in the Wild West. We can't decide. But at least in theory, the din of Ir HaNidachat is given to each and every one of us. Like all this, like the whole category of mitzvahs we've been doing. The mitzvah of getting rid of Avodah Zarah is given to each and every one of us. Okay, practically speaking, it might be hard to do. But the mitzvah belongs to us.
So would that be
Ve'im avru al zeh. If they don't do it. Now, how does that happen? Kigon sheyadu al achat me'arei Yisrael. Sheru'uya lehe asot ir hanidachat. V'lo asu badin. Everybody knows. There's an ir hanidachat out there. This town in the, whatever, in the Shomron, in the Galil, it's an ir hanidachat. But you know what? Who wants to get involved? Who wants to get my hands dirty? Bitlu asei zeh. Your mevatel mitzvah asei. Ve'anshan gadol me'od. And your punishment is very great. Pen tit pashet ra'ata ba'ayarot acherot. Because then it could catch up. Okay, I want to make one last point. The Abba Arbanel, we're not going to read it inside. The Abba Arbanel says that when you read Re'eh, you see there's a series of averos that the Torah discusses. It says there are three parshas that are next to each other. One is Ki yakum bekir b'cha navi, but he's a navi sheker. The Abba Arbanel says that represents, you know, well, falling prey to a navi is falling prey to some great man. You know, there's some excuse for that. Then you have ki yisidcha achicha. Then you have somebody who's on your level who tries to incite you to do something bad. And then he says you have ir hanidacha, where the pasuk says ki tishma ba'achad sharecha. And there he says ir hanidachat represents the worst case of negative peer pressure. Right? You're not falling prey to great people and to role models. It's just at some point everybody's doing it, so you start doing it. And the Abba Arbanel thinks one of the deeper messages of the evil of ir hanidachat is the evil of negative peer pressure. And the line he uses at the end, he says, then it's acharei rabim lahatot miderech hayashar. Normally we think acharei rabim lahatos, you should follow the majority. But the Abba Arbanel says ir hanidacha stands for the possibility that the majority will be evil. And if the majority is evil, you have an obligation to stand up to the majority. And if you don't, you know, this terrible thing happens. Last point I would say is, how could it be that even in theory, there's somebody in the Ir HaNidachat who gets killed who didn't worship Avodah Zarah? That's a machlokes. I think the answer is, you stand up to these people, and if you stand up to these people and you lose, you have to move. Otherwise, if you don't move, you're part of an Ir HaNidachat. Okay, tons of interesting things. Shkar.
They make it sound like it never occurs, but a very practical comment. If it's on the border, we don't do anything in such a city. Prior to you speaking.
Correct, because we try to find reasons. Not
it sounds like Lot shouldn't have gotten away.
Thank you, Ellie. Ellie, we're going to see you next season.
Well, yeah, but not
yeah. After August.
No.
Oh, right, after.
We could talk about like maybe once in a while, but I
so after the holidays.
Right.
Okay. Thank you, Ellie Weber.